The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Let me talk to Venetia quick, because we spoke to her a few weeks ago about her husband Martin, who sadly died due to lung cancer. But she has a lot to say about some new research that we wanted to address. Venetia, good morning to you. Nice to talk to you again. Are you well?
Thank you. Yes, I'm not too bad.
Good. And you wanted to talk a little bit about the Lung Cancer Awareness Month. And I know little or nothing about it. So will you tell me all about it, please?
Yeah. Well, basically, Lung Cancer Awareness Month is heralded by the Marie Keating Foundation.
Yeah.
They actually heard me talking on your show a couple of months ago, and they asked me would I get involved with their I Am Lung Cancer campaign, which aims to stop the stigma surrounding lung cancer, and it also wants to encourage people to get checked early so that, you know, if the earlier you get checked, obviously, the more time you get.
Of course. What stigma is there around lung cancer?
Well, there seems to be, they carried out research and I think it was actually quite shocking. Well, I was quite shocked. I'm not really good with figures and maths and stuff, so I had to come back and actually reread the stats they send me, because I actually thought I was getting it wrong. One in 10, basically 34%, which is a third of adults, agree that lung cancer patients face stigma from the public that other cancer patients don't get.
Yeah.
And this is a part that, well, I actually find quite shocking, is that one in 10 believes that this is totally acceptable. So one in 10 people is saying that, well, you know, you got lung cancer, so you deserve it. So that's assuming that somebody with lung cancer, A, is a smoker. It's even though we know people with don't necessarily have to smoke to get lung cancer.
Yeah.
And even if they did smoke and got lung cancer, like, do they really deserve to be blamed for it? No, they
yes.
don't.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can understand people saying, not that I can understand, but I can recognise that it's said a lot. People saying, so-and-so has lung cancer. Yeah, but she's on 40 a day. What did you expect? I mean, he kind of, you know, to quote the expression from earlier, signed his own death warrant. And I know that sounds cold and a little cruel, but that's what you'll hear.
Well, it is cruel, and it's saying the same thing as saying somebody gets diagnosed with skin cancer, oh, it's the holidays and the cost del sol, or somebody with liver cancer, they like to pint. Do you know what I mean?
Which is both kind of true in a lot of cases.
It is and it isn't. Yeah, maybe it is, but, like, you know, you don't necessarily get a cancer from doing one thing. I mean, cancer has still been researched, it's been ongoing. You know, people choose certain lifestyles and don't necessarily make good lifestyle choices.
Sure.
Some people smoke. Some people eat 10 donuts or Big Macs a day. Some people drink too much or binge drink, you know, or some people, you know, lie in the sun. Like, we all make bad lifestyle choices along the way.
But nobody deserves cancer.
Exactly. Yeah. But this is the point, that nobody deserves to get cancer, you know, and certainly by stigmatizing the patient. Like, when somebody's diagnosed with cancer, it doesn't, obviously the patient is the person it affects the most, but it also, it changes everything for everybody around them. So it changes it for their partner, changes everything for their kids, changes their relationship. It's, you know, it changes life for everybody.
Did you get a bit of that, Venetia, with Martin in terms of people saying, well, oh, sure, look, he was a smoker, and, you know, were people a bit, were they that blunt?
I know that there was a little, Martin was a smoker, and, you know, he also suffered very, very badly throughout his life with anxiety, so I think that was his sort of crutch. I don't think he liked having that crutch, but that was his crutch. It's the hand-to-mouth thing. It's like, again, why some people drink when they're stressed, why some people eat when they're stressed.
Yeah.
I think that's like, I'm not a psychologist, but there is some psychological research that goes back to being when you're breastfed or whatever, the hand-to-mouth, the mouth thing is a comfort zone type thing, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. Well,
you know, it's that was his crutch. And I mean, I know, yes, the odd person would make a face and you'd recognize the face of, like, where they were deep down thinking, oh, those bloody cigarettes, you know.
Yeah.
But that's, it's not helpful, and no, it doesn't help. They don't need, the person that's been diagnosed doesn't need that thought in the back of their head, oh, I bought this on myself, you know, on top of everything else, because it doesn't, it's certainly, like, the one thing they'll tell you when you got cancer is you have to keep positive, you have to keep going. So for somebody to throw the blame back at you does not help somebody keep positive, you know.
And of course, nobody needs judgment when you're facing your own deep difficulties and fears.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, like, you know, as I was saying, like, I think by stigmatizing the patient, you're stigmatizing, you know, everybody. And, you know, Martin probably got cancer because he smoked, but his mum passed away of lung cancer. So maybe it's genetic as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's 1 in 10 people, it's sort of, you're sort of basically looking at your friend group going, okay, 1 in 10 of all my friends actually think that he deserved this.
Yes.
And therefore, you know, that's not nice for somebody's kids to grow up knowing that. Or so, you know, for anybody, I suppose, that really believes that somebody with cancer deserves it, I would say to them, go and sit with somebody when they're dying of cancer, or go and spend time with somebody who's been diagnosed. Spend time with their family,
sure,
if they've been left behind. And, you know, just see the devastation it causes, because I think it's 2020, there's some stats that say that 1 in 2 people will either be touched by cancer in their lives or will, you know, get cancer themselves. So nobody really should be passing judgment, and nobody really is in a position to blame somebody else, because how would they like it if if they were blamed, or their partner or whatever got cancer and everybody was going, well, you know, it's their own fault. You know, it's just not acceptable.
Did Martin ever say, geez, I wish I didn't smoke that much in the end? Or did he ever express any sort of regret about that?
No. But I know he knew it.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when Martin was growing up, he grew up in a family. They all smoked.
Right.
As I said, it was something, I think, for him, you know, he had an incredibly healthy diet. He walked everywhere. It was sort of these, you know, this sort of contradiction in one way, mm-hmm, you know, that some people have.
Yes.
You know, some people don't drink, they don't smoke, but they'll eat 40 pizzas a week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, people have contradictions in their lives where they're super healthy at one point, but they have that one little vice. And, you know, then there's totally healthy people who do absolutely nothing, and they get cancer too.
Is your message today, Venetia, to make, ask people to be a little more tolerant, a little less judgmental, a little more, I suppose, inclusive? Is that the idea?
Yeah. Well, I just think people just need to stop judging other people for. I mean, if you're, say, for example, you go to A&E on a Saturday, mm-hmm, and a guy comes in who's had 4 drinks, or, like, you know, tons of drinks, and, you know, he's bashed his head and he's in a really bad way, but a sober guy comes in with a broken leg, there are people who would say, well, the sober guy should be seen first, because sure, the other guy was locked. You can't live like that. You've no idea of why the other person was drunk, what's going on in their lives, what's happening. You know, this 1 in 10 people is 1 in 10 people too many. If somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, it's the most horrendous, scary moment in so many people's lives. And just, you know, lay off the blame game.
My late brother-in-law died almost a year ago, age 65, lung cancer, never smoked a cigarette in his life.
But there you go.
Another from Helen says, Venetia is 100% correct. If someone gets devastating news like that and your first instinct is to blame, maybe you should just keep your mouth shut and sit this one out. It's wise advice. Venetia, I think you're brilliant.
Thank you.
I mean that. And Felix, Arlo and Casper are your three boys.
They are.
13, 8 and 6, is that right?
That's right.
No change since we last spoke. And how are they doing?
You know, they're doing okay.
Are they?
Sort of the run up. I think we've got the biggest hurdle now in the next few weeks.
For Christmas.
Christmas coming up.
And how are they facing into that? It didn't cross my mind. How are they facing into it?
They're okay. okay, you know, actually something I was just thinking when you were asking about Felix there, like something actually we went to, Bono was God in our house, whether I liked it or not. And I took Felix to see U2 at the weekend.
And how was that?
Well, you know, one came on and one was Martin's favourite song. And Felix would be very much, he keeps his emotions in check a lot of the time. And I turned around and he was just burst into tears. Yeah. And we had a very teary moment during that song. But I came away going, you know what was amazing, while it was heartbreaking, and I'd also say to anybody, if they'd seen that scene and they judged people with lung cancer, you wouldn't anymore, because
that was cathartic for him.
It broke my heart, put it that way.
Yeah, it was.
But I just actually came away going, you know what?
Yeah, healthy.
He will be okay, because he listened, and he was obviously listening, and he knew, while I actually thought in all of this that he wasn't sort of taking in what was going around him because he was too busy in his own world, he knew that was Martin's favourite song, and he has that, you know.
When did Martin die? Was it
February?
So this is your first Christmas together without. But do you, and Arlo and Casper are aware that nothing changes regarding Santa coming and everything, are they? That, you know.
Oh no, Santa's coming and the lists are being finalised.
The lists are being finalised. All right, yeah. Well, tell them that the toy man was asking for them.
I'm not speaking
terms with Santa necessarily, but I talk to his people, and that it's all, tell them it's all good.
Okay,
yeah,
I will.
Pass that
Thank
on.
Thank you.
You mind yourself, won't you?
I will.
As well
I
as
will.
The lads, but mind yourself too, Venetia. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank
it's lovely
you.
Talking to
all
you.
Right.
Take care of yourself.
You.
Thank you. Venetia Quick joining us there this morning, talking about, among other things, the Mary Keating Foundation. They've launched a campaign for lung cancer awareness this month, and we're very happy to talk to Venetia on that. But if I'm facing into, that's tough for families around the country, let alone the world, who have to face into that. And, you know, if I was at U2 with my eldest daughter on Saturday night, and it was actually quite emotional being there, but for different reasons. I just loved being in her company and watching the music and sharing it with her, because she'd never seen them before and she didn't realise how amazing they were and how visually stunning it was. And anyway, that was all lovely. But if I had looked down and saw a woman with a 13-year-old boy and the two of them crying, I'd never have known why. And you then hear Venetia's story and you just never really know, do you, who you're sitting beside or standing beside or what pain or happiness they're going through. Shall we take some texts on this? We shall. I couldn't agree more with Venetia. My dad died of lung cancer at 51, a year after his diagnosis. He never smoked, hardly ever had a drink, and had a healthy and active lifestyle. He lived a sad last year, died an awful death at home. We were devastated as a family. Carmel's in Dublin. She said, my sister died 2 years ago, aged 60, from lung cancer. Everyone asked the same question. Did she smoke? Well, yes, she did. She became addicted in the 70s when there was no education or awareness around smoking. We could actually smoke in hospitals around the patients, for goodness sake. It was normal then. Another says, Jesus, Ryan, I can't believe there are people who think that others deserve to get cancer. What has humanity come to? And another says, I love what Venetia has to say. As with everything in health and social care, it's all about seeing the person as they are and seeing the family as they are. My dad died of cancer and regularly said, sure, I had a great time, so I had to pay the bill. So he kind of acknowledged it. One of the unfortunate results is the perception that many who chose a particular lifestyle end up availing of medical resources that are expensive and short to supply, which is hard to argue against. And Margaret says, my husband got renal cancer and cancer of the esophagus within a year of one another. He was off cigarettes for 35 years. Your guest speaker is correct. Some people are ignorant when it comes to cancer. Right, 51551 is the text number.